It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, oh boy. Gotta be sure and turn the microphone on before you start talking. That's a tip from me to you. Let's go ahead and get this show on the road. We got lots of news.
And not enough time. The robot overlord.
Anyway, just kidding. Today I have just one kind of important meeting, and I'm stressing out about it because when there's 10 things to do, it's much easier to just juggle them around. But when there's one thing to do, I get too focused on it. So anyway, that's fine. We've got tons of we have tons of news to go through. It's been a busy 24 hours. So we're going to start the way we always start, and that's with
world news.
That's right, our world news. EU citizens arriving in the UK. Oh, there we go. Sorry about that. EU citizens arriving in the UK being locked up and expelled. EU citizens are being sent to immigration removal centers and held in airport detention rooms as the UK government's hostile environment policy falls on them after Brexit, according to campaigners and travelers interviewed by The Guardian. Europeans with job interviews are among those being denied entry and locked up. They have spoken of being subjected to traumatic and humiliating experience of expulsion, despite Home Office rules that explicitly allow non-visa holders to attend interviews. Confusion about whether EU citizens can explore the UK job market and then go home with an offer in order to apply for a work visa has added to the growing number of detentions. In other cases, visitors are clearly breaking rules, such as those now barring EU citizens from taking up unpaid internships. At least a dozen European citizens, mostly young women, were detained and expelled at Gatwick Airport alone over 48 hours last week. Two female Spanish detainees told The Guardian... This is a new sentence. Great job, Guardian. Some were sent 2 hours' drive away to Yarlswood Detention Center in Bedfordshire, where a COVID scare meant they were confined to their rooms. Other countries whose citizens have been held at UK airport or detention center include Italy, France, Bulgaria, and Greece. It's understood one French man was held at Edinburgh Airport for 48 hours recently, while the Bulgarian ambassador to the UK confirmed a number of his nationals had been held at immigration removal centers. The two Spanish women were detained at Gatwick on the 2nd and 3rd of May, after arriving on separate flights from Valencia and Bilbao. Maria, 25, from Valencia, said that, like many of those detained, she thought she was free to explore the job market at least until October, especially since she'd lived and worked in the UK before. Maria said that when Border Force officials at Gatwick said they would expel her, she offered to pay for a flight home the same day. Instead, she was sent to Yarlswood, where she spent 3 anxious days. "I'm still in shock," she said. When The Guardian first spoke to Maria on Friday, she was at Yarlswood and scared that she had been exposed to COVID. Later that day, she was released and ordered to quarantine at her sister's home in Bexley Heath, in southeast London, until May 17th. Border Force officials kept her passport. "So much time is being wasted," she said. "The worst thing was that no one at Yarlswood could tell me what was going to happen. My freedom had been taken away and I couldn't get legal advice." And the story goes on and kind of details the various abuses that are going on at the hands. I laugh, but it's serious business. The Home Office has not yet released data on border detention since Brexit came into force in January, and it remains unclear how many of those detained have been able or willing to contact their consulates. So... just probably a big warning. Don't try and go into the UK just avoid the UK. That's kind of the story there. Now, we got to touch, because it's painful to talk about, but...
Ouch!
Yep. Ouch! That's my little ouch sound. I like it. This is just a touch. Israel masses forces near Gaza as airstrikes continue. So, Israeli fighter jets have continued attacking high-rise buildings and other targets in the Gaza Strip as Israel boosted its deployment of troops and tanks near the besieged Palestinian enclave on Thursday. Palestinians marked the first day of Eid al-Fitr, religious holiday under relentless aerial bombardment, with Gaza's health ministry saying at least 87 people, including 18 children, have been killed since the Israeli offensive began late on Monday. More than 530 others have been wounded. At least 6 Israelis and 1 Indian national have also been killed. The Israeli army said hundreds of rockets have been fired from Gaza towards various locations in Israel, and they have added reinforcements near the enclave's eastern lands. There have also been more violent confrontations between Jewish Israelis and Palestinian citizens of Israel and several cities inside Israel. So, kind of sad. The U.S. has taken this wishy-washy approach and been like talking about Israel has the right to defend itself when it's like Israel's been the aggressor this whole time. So it's very troubling indeed. But yeah, so anyway, it's really hard to find any neutral sides on this, to report this, because if you're not in the U.S., if you're in the U.S., you're getting a pro-Israel hardline, like, the Jewish state is like God's will kind of story, and if you're not reading those news sites, then you've got the other side where it's like Israel's the devil kind of stuff, and so it's really hard to find neutral stuff. So it's really painful to kind of read any news on it. But there is a lot of killing going on, and it looks like we're going to get some war here soon. So anyway,
ouch!
That's the ouch update. All right. So let's lighten it up. Lighten it up. Here's something that's a little less serious, I guess. This is, I wanted to try and lighten the mood a little bit. Russia is going to send an actor and director to the International Space Station to shoot the first movie in space. Russia's space agency has said it will send an actor and director to the International Space Station in October to make the first feature film in space. Filming will take place at the International Space Station. The start of the expedition is scheduled for October 5th, 2021, from Baikonur Cosmodrome on the Soyuz MS-19, that's Mike Sierra 19, manned transport spacecraft. Roscosmos said in a statement, actor Yulia Peresild, 36, and director Klim Shipenko, 37, will undergo training including centrifuge tests and flights in zero gravity, starting no later than the 1st of June. Their pre-flight training will be documented by one of Russia's main TV channels, Channel 1, which will also be involved in producing the film. The film's working title is Challenge, and it will be a space drama. Roscosmos said, without providing details of the plot or Peresild's role. Roscosmos said in September the movie would aim to popularize Russia's space activities as well as glorify cosmonaut profession. The film will be co-produced by Dmitry Rogozin, the director general of Roscosmos, with the ambition of making Russia the first country to shoot a film in space. Last year, the U.S. space agency NASA confirmed it would team up with the actor Tom Cruise to make a Hollywood movie on the ISS. So, lots of cool space stuff happening, and it seems like we're approaching the, we're jumping the shark, I guess, or whatever you want to call it, where we're crossing this threshold where now space is going to be not just for science, but also like a playground for the ultra wealthy. So maybe that'll help us clear up some of the space junk that's up in the space and not generate more. Hard to say. Oh, man. Well, let's keep on a rolling. There is something here for everybody. Let's talk about Brazil for a second. Brazilian police target indigenous leaders after government criticism. Human rights activists in Brazil have warned that the country's authorities are targeting indigenous leaders after police launched investigations into two prominent critics of the government of Jair Bolsonaro. Sonia, I think that's, it's O and it has a little hat on it. I think it's Sonia. Guajajara, the head of Brazil's largest indigenous organization, the Association of Indigenous Peoples, which is abbreviated Alpha Papa India Bravo, APIB, and Almir Suri, had been put under investigation last month over social media campaigns raising awareness of the threat that COVID-19 poses to Brazil's indigenous population. Both cases were closed this week after federal judges ruled that there were no grounds for the investigations and described the situation as illegal embarrassment. But Natalie Untersell, the founder of the Politica Por Interio think tank, said the episode exposed how the government is fostering violence against indigenous populations. Speeches by the president and his ministers are constantly attacking indigenous peoples. This sets an environment of violence. We need antidotes against it, Unterestel said. Guahara described the investigation launched against her as an attempt at intimidation and to avoid revealing the government's inaction. But both leaders were accused of spreading fake news by FUNAI, the government agency which is officially responsible for protecting indigenous interests. In a statement, FUNAI said it would not comment on the investigation. It's scary to receive a subpoena from the police for a complaint made by FUNAI itself. This is unprecedented. It is Bolsero's new FUNAI, which has completely reversed its role of protecting indigenous peoples, Guahara added. The investigation into Guahara focused on multimedia web series produced by indigenous groups and featuring indigenous leaders and international celebrities, including the actor Alec Baldwin and the singer Caetano Veloso. It was part of an international fundraising campaign to help fight COVID-19, which has disproportionately affected Brazil's indigenous people. So, if you needed another example of Jair Bolsonaro's corruption and general bad for the worlditude, there you go.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Yeah, it is. I'm almost that time, little dude, little guy that's always running around in the soundboard. Let's just do some Africa news, and then we'll play a song. We got something from the 90s for you today. At least I think it was the 90s when I heard this. First headlines. Here we go. Coronavirus. About 100,000 people have been vaccinated in Zambia. Zambia's Ministry of Health has announced that 90,916 people have been vaccinated against COVID-19 since April 14th, when the exercise was launched in the country. So way to go, Zambia. That's really exciting news. Ethiopia and Sudan border tensions must be de-escalated. A potential border war brewing between Sudan and Ethiopia threatens to destabilize the two nations and the entire Eastern Africa region. This is just a brief excerpt headline from our friends over at Panapress. Panapress.com, if you want to, if you go through the sign-up process, let me know how it goes. I haven't quite bit the bullet on that one yet. The United Kingdom keeps its hold on United Nations' top humanitarian job. Current United Nations Special Envoy for Yemen, Martin Griffiths, will be the next Under Secretary General for Humanitarian Affairs and Emergency Relief Coordinator to the EU. I guess it's to the EU. I think this is the free news cuts off after a character limit, because this isn't even the full sentence. It just says the EU, and then it stops. All right. And what else? AU, I think that's African Union, chairperson strongly condemns bombardments in the Gaza Strip. The chairperson of the African Union Commissioner, AUC, Moussa Faki Mahamat, has strongly condemned the bombardments in the Gaza Strip that have killed more than 21 Palestinians. And finally, the Mauritian Anti-Drug Brigade, or ADSU, Alpha Delta Sierra Uncle, last weekend seized approximately 243 kilos of heroin and 26 kilos of hashish. So, holy moly. That's a lot of hashish. A lot of hash, man. What are you doing with all that? All right. Well, let's go ahead and play a song. This song is called Lump, and it's by the Presidents of the United States of America.
Lump sat alone.
listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
That is 100% correct. This is Anon Radio, powered by SDF, the Public Access Unix System. You can join yourself, just SSH over to new@SDF. That's November Echo Whiskey at SierraDeltaFoxtrot.org. So new@SDF.org, you'll sign up right through there. Super easy, lots of fun. Then you can join us in COM, that's our chat program. So once you're in the shell, just COM, boom, you'll be dropped in. G for go to, type in on radio, all lowercase, all together. You'll end up in the chat room, where we talk about whatever we're listening to on and on radio, which is what you're hearing right now. Magic, right? Big circle. Time is a flat circle. But you know what is always at the same exact time every day? That's the Doobie Skulls Committee with Tobe. That happens right after this show at 1930 UTC. So definitely stick around for that. It's a lot of fun. I like it. You will too. Just give it a shot. Well, I hope you like it. I think you would. So just give it a shot. All right. Let's go ahead and pick up. We got a couple of... they're tech-related. They're more like business stories, but close enough.
It's time for tech news.
First, Italy fines Google 100 million euros for shutting out rival's smartphone app. Italy's antitrust authority said Thursday it had fined Google more than 100 million euros for shutting out a rival's smartphone app after offering recharging of electric vehicles. The authority said Google, whose Android OS, operating system, and Google Play App Store dominate the Italian market, had abused its market position by blocking an Enel X app for users of electric vehicles. The regulator added it would require Google to make Enel X's app available on Android Auto, which mirrors the features of an Android device, such as a smartphone, on a car's dashboard screen. The fine of, oh, here's the precise fine, 102,084,433.91 euros is for a violation of Article 102 of the Treaty on the Functioning of the European Union, which regulates monopolies and issues involving restriction of competition. Italy found Google did not allow an Enel X Italia to develop an Android Auto-compatible version of its JuicePass app. JuicePass offers services relating to electric charging vehicles, such as finding the nearest charging station and reserving a space there. So, the authority, as a result, said it had ordered Google to make available... Yeah, this is... Google's been ordered to open up and let them comply, let them compete. Story I didn't run today, but just to mention, because I did read it, Italy was also in hot water because... Or a record... Hollywood studio was in hot water because in the Italian dub of a movie that had Laverne Cox, a transgender actor, they had... a dude voicing her. They had a male guy voicing her character instead of using a female actor. So check that out if you are into entertainment news. I try not to cover entertainment news too much. We got all this other news to cover. I mean, the
world news,
man. It's just everywhere. World it. It's whirling around. So check this out. Tesla no longer accepts Bitcoin. If you were wondering why all of your cryptocurrencies suddenly had fallen in value, like I was this morning, when I was like, "What happened?" It was all good. It was happy money times, and now it's sad money times. What could have it been? Well, Tesla has suspended vehicle purchases using Bitcoin due to climate change concerns, its CEO Elon Musk said in a tweet. Bitcoin fell by more than 10% after the tweet, while Tesla shares also dipped. Tesla's announcement in March that it would accept the cryptocurrency was met with an outcry from some environmentalists and investors. The electric car maker had in February revealed it bought 1.5 billion, or 1 billion pounds, of the world's biggest digital currency. But on Thursday, it backtracked on its previous comments. "We are concerned about the rapidly increasing use of fossil fuels for mining and transactions, especially coal, which has the worst emissions of any fuel. Cryptocurrency is a good idea, but this cannot come at the great cost to the environment." He also said the electric car maker would not sell any of its Bitcoin and intends to use it for transactions as soon as mining shifts to using more sustainable energy. So, we'll see what happens there. A lot of people are very upset because Elon Musk, being a billionaire, can very easily manipulate the cryptocurrency markets by making large purchases or just announcing these kind of things. So, we'll see what happens. But anyway, they're out of the cryptocurrency game for now. And are you ready for this? This was like, wow, to me. Cocaine of the sea threatens critically endangered vaquita. The vaquita marina is found only in Mexico. It is the most critically endangered sea mammal on the planet. Its survival threatened by a deadly clash of interests between fishing and conservation. Scientists estimate there may be fewer than a dozen left in the wild. And they're really cute. They look kind of like chunky dolphins. Jacques Cousteau, the marine explorer, called the Sea of Cortez, also known as the Gulf of California, the world's aquarium. One of its treasures is a silvery-colored porpoise with wide panda eyes, but the vaquita's days may be numbered because of illegal fishing for another protected species, totoaba. Totoaba, a fish that can grow as large as a vaquita, was a food source before it was placed on Mexico's endangered list. We used to catch it in the 60s and 70s, remembers Ramon Franco Diaz, president of Fishing Federation in the coastal town of San Felipe, on the peninsula of Baja California. Then the Chinese came with their suitcases full of dollars and bought our consciences. They arrived wanting the totoaba's swim bladder, an organ that helps the fish stay buoyant. In China, it's highly prized for its perceived, though unproven, medicinal properties. According to the Earth League International NGO, 10-year-old dried swim bladders can sell for $85,000 a kilo in China. The fishermen of San Felipe make only a fraction, but in a poor community, businesses boomed for the cocaine of the sea. Oh, that's so sad. I thought there was a drug in the water. I didn't realize that they were being killed for their swim bladders. Aw. The illegal fishermen, the criminal elements, are so strong that in the plain light of day you see them with their illegal nets and totoaba, said Mr. Franco. Every afternoon during the season, a stream of pickup trucks towing fishing boats reverses down the concrete slipway of the town's public beach and into the sea. These craft are mostly unlicensed, and their crew use nets that can kill the vaquita. Gill nets might be hundreds of meters long and 10 meters high. To protect the vaquita, all gill nets are banned in the upper Gulf. However, they are widely used even by fishermen with permits for halibut or prawns. Mesh size varies with the catch, and the most perilous to the vaquita are gill nets with the large mesh used for totoaba. It's not easy for marine mammals to free themselves from those. That's very sad. So anyway, this is just sad news. This is an environmental story. Just a short thing. When I was growing up, I lived in a small fishing town, a small little fishing village, a shrimping town, and one of the things that was coming up is turtles. Sea turtles were being caught up in shrimpers' nets, and the shrimpers were mad about the government's imposing regulation to save the turtles. Basically, they ended up being forced to buy these, like, noisemakers or something. They had to put something on their nets that chased the turtles away. But it was expensive, and they were already barely scraping by, so they were very mad about it. Anyway, that's just an anecdote. The people who harvest natural resources and the people who conserve those natural resources are always going to have kind of competing interests. So, anyway, I hope this endangered animal stays around. They're very cute, and it's sad whenever any species dies. All right, well, here's a feel-good story for you. Twin medical doctors battle entrenched racism in the medical world. The inseparable sisters always stood out. Identical twins from Twinsburg, Ohio, whip-smart students from the side of town with unpaved streets and no sidewalks, excluded from the gifted track because they were black. Their friends were white, and a classmate's comment still sting. "I don't even think of you as black," I said. "Thank you, and I felt pride," Brittany James recalls, shuddering. "I believe we were special. I believed other people in the neighborhood weren't as good as us," she said. The twins were indeed special. They won free rides to the Ivy League, earned medical degrees at prestigious universities, and have thrived in a profession where they are vastly outnumbered by virtue of their skin color. But their mission now is to dismantle the entrenched bigotry behind the classmate's backhanded remark. At 33, James and her twin Brandy Jackson have taken on the medical establishment and pioneering work to eliminate racism in medicine. "We're teaching how to see it and how to undo it. James, an internal medicine doctor, and Jackson, a psychiatrist, have developed anti-racist coursework used in two Chicago medical schools. They founded the Institute for Anti-Racism in Medicine, where physicians can earn continuing education credit for taking classes on how their profession has made black patients sicker. So, this is very exciting. I'm glad that they're being recognized and that these programs are getting the attention they need. Medicine, there are several fields that are still really racist and really misogynistic in the U.S., a lot of sexism, and medicine's one of them. So I'm really, it's exciting that they're making waves there. Oh, now this is one that's like, oh boy, I wish I had a spooky sound to play. Love has won Colt 7 charged after leader found mummified in glitter and fairy lights. Wow. 7 people are facing charges relating to abusing a corpse, as well as child abuse, after a cult leader's mummified body was found decorated with Christmas lights and glitter in what appeared to be a shrine in southern Colorado. Amy Carlson, 45, who is known as Mother God by her followers, was found dead in a home in a small town called Moffat in Colorado on April 28th. According to official documents, however, no details about the cause of death have been revealed. All 7 defendants have been booked on May 6th and appeared in the court on Wednesday. The body was reportedly found from one of Miss Carlson's cult followers' residence, where the group was staying. The owner of the house, who has not been charged, told investigators that he let the group stay because they needed a place. The body was found in a back bedroom when he returned home from a trip to Denver. He called the police, and he believed the group had brought Miss Carlson's body to his home from California. The mummified remains appear to be set up in some type of shrine and have what appear to be glitter-type makeup on around the eyes, according to affidavits. Investigators searched an SUV on the property and said the backseat was in a laid-down position consistent with someone transporting the mummified remains. They were also charged with child abuse as 2 children, a 13-year-old girl and a 2-year-old boy, were present in the home at the time. So, wild. So yeah, no telling what exactly the cult was all about. Oh, here it is. It's sandwiched between 2 nearly full-page ads. Miss Carlson's followers believe she could communicate with angels and that she was leading them to a great awakening. The Denver Post has reported. She also claimed to have been reincarnated 534 times, even remembering living as Jesus and hanging on the cross. She also claimed to have been Marilyn Monroe and Cleopatra, it said. So, there you go. We're almost out of time, so I'll just throw these last couple headlines out at you. COVID vaccine. Ohio is offering anyone who gets the vaccine an entry into a raffle or a lottery to win money because not enough people are getting the vaccine. Amazon is saying they're going to hire 75,000 workers in the next year. The Pentagon says that on January 6th, Donald Trump authorized the National Guard to protect the demonstrators, not the senators. That's at the World Socialist website. And the Colonial Pipeline's back up online. So they paid the ransom of $5 million, and now people get gas again. $5 million's not a lot if you're a huge company making billions a year, right?
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Stick around for the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe! Talk to you tomorrow.